Thunder! 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 What
are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
Thunder Nerds!
Thunder Nerds!
Thunder Nerds!
Get those nerds!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian Hinton.
And Janelle Pizarro.
And I'm Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do.
Do tech good.
Ah, ah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. We have a very special guest today. We have Mina Markham. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here. It's great.
I love that name. What was it you speaking that part in Bram Stoker's Dracula with Mina?
That's actually what made that.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Bam!
You heard it.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
My dad saw a Dracula movie and he was like, that's the name right there.
Such a pretty name.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Most people actually don't know that. That's kind of cool.
What's your middle name, if you don't mind?
I'm not going to say that because people could obviously sit down. Okay.
I get it.
Yes.
That's awesome. So how was your talk yesterday?
It was really good. It was the, I don't know, maybe 20th or so time I've given that particular talk.
It's
always, even though I have it pretty down, it's always a little nerve-wracking when I give it to a new audience. I have no idea if people are going to respond to it.
Sure.
And I've heard nothing but good feedback. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Great. That's so cool. Well, before we go dive too much into your talk, let's talk.
We're at the front end conference for all of
us. First things first. We're at the front end design conference. It's the 10th year.
Keep doing that.
I know.
It's the 10th anniversary of the event.
Yes. And where are we at? What theater?
Well, the Palladium in St. Pete. Really great venue. This awesome location.
Yeah.
And St. Pete is great for all our viewers who have never been to the events. Great food, great beaches, just a great scene in general, and great people at the conference. So keep an eye out. We have more live shows throughout the day. So, but yeah, that's our little sub intro.
Yeah.
And back to the show.
So tell us a little bit about you and what you do. I hear from the grapevine that you slack around all day.
I do slack around all day. I work on a little app you may have heard of called Slack.
Never heard of it.
I don't actually.
Skype?
Oh, you're gonna get smacked, Brian.
I work at a company called Slack. We build an application called Slack. I don't work on the app. I have to tell people that.
You've used it.
I used it religiously before I worked on it.
It's funny if you work there, but everyone there uses like Hangouts.
No. I tell people that I don't work on the app because usually that leads to people asking me for like feature requests and doing.
Oh yeah. Can I tell you some things that I want to change?
All I can do is pass them along. I can't actually help you with any of it.
So you do the infrastructure side of things?
No, I do all the marketing things. So my job is to get people who don't know about Slack to learn about it. There are people who don't know about Slack. And have you ever tried to explain Slack to a person who has never seen it? It gets kind of tricky because you don't want to say it's a chat app, but it's not a chat app. You say it's a workplace collaboration tool, but how do you explain what that actually means
to someone
who's never seen something like that? So it's just, there are much smarter people in our marketing department who actually figured out this language better than I have. I just facilitate all of their work. I go to Slack.com. My team also helps with things like the help center, our status site, pretty much anything that's product adjacent we take care of.
Oh, okay, that's neat.
So I can give suggestions for the help then.
Yes, in theory you could, yes. Seriously, you really do it.
Okay. Explaining that to some people too, there's a lot of people that are very clingy to email and they don't want to let that go, or they have any kind of trepidation about some other kind of workflow. So I could understand how you definitely need a lot of explanation sometimes for certain kind of businesses.
People are really entrenched in like the systems that they're currently in, and what we try to show them is that we're not trying to disrupt that system, we're just trying to like integrate it all into one place so that you don't have to keep going to five different services.
There are
integrations with email with Slack where you can get a message inline. So I mean, you're not
exactly
really a band-aid.
There's call center things, there's chat apps that integrate, there's all kinds of
I like that Slack is like hackable. Like you can build bots to like make Slack more accessible to your team, which is really cool.
Yeah.
For example, like in Orlando, we've got a dev community on Slack. And we've got things like pizza bots that tell us when like pizza's half off, and like that's part of our community, which is really awesome, and we love that about Slack.
I just love Giphy. Like there were days at work when we were using Slack, and we'd since switched to something else, so that's an entirely different thing. But but we got lost in Giphy.
Yeah.
For like hours back and forth.
It's easy to just ha ha ha. That's so funny.
So Nina, tell us a little bit more about your talk. What did you talk about?
I actually spoke about the job I had directly before Slack, which was working for someone you may have heard of.
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I heard of that.
She was applying for a really good job, and my job was to help her to get that job. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out the way we all intended it to, but
That's a whole different can of worms.
That's a whole different thing. Yeah. Essentially, my talk was going over the story of how I got that job and the 15 or so months I spent doing it.
Yeah. Wow. So that has been amazing to you. I'm sure you actually got to meet Hillary.
Yeah, I've met her a couple of times.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. She must be so inspirational.
She is. She's the best way I describe it, she has this very like intense presence, but it's nothing really about her. Like she's very warm and friendly and funny and welcoming. It's just she comes with people. She comes with videographers and photographers and Secret Service. So like when you meet her, but you also see the periphery like
a bunch of people. Yeah.
So I'm just like, hello, Secretary Clinton and all the big Secret Service guys who are
there. All staring at you.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really stare. They're just kind of like, just around. They don't intrude, but they just, their presence is just there.
Yeah.
But no, it's a very humbling experience to, like, work for someone like that. She's had such a long career of trying to, like, do good in the world and being a public servant. And so just to meet her and to see, like, she's a real person and she's just...
Yeah.
She doesn't have, people feel like she had like a bunch of like ego with her. She was just like very happily and very intensely listening to what I had to say, and it was great.
Yeah, she's just authentic, and she really had, her agenda is to help people.
Yeah, like the podcast that she briefly did, I can't remember who interviewed her, but she did during the campaign, she was on, she had a dedicated like podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was really interesting. What I want to know is, did she... the name of the pattern library? Did she like that?
I will say I named her pattern library that I did for her called, it's called Pantsuit. It's very appropriate.
Yeah.
I have no idea if she knows what it's called or even.
Really?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if she knows what it's called. I'm not even sure she knows that it exists as a thing.
Yeah.
She knows about the website and all of her tools.
Yeah,
and so I don't know if anyone ever told her anything that deep. I kind of doubt it. I feel like she just knows that the website exists and it looks the way it does.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Did she have any kind of interaction with you as far as. You know, I like this, I don't like this, or, you know, I do have a little idea. Like,
no, not with me directly. I would never interact with her on that kind of level. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, maybe. I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
I
love, like, Hillary Clinton over my shoulder going,
move that to the right.
Three pixels. That
would have been more nerve-wracking than
you. That would have
been hilarious, though. No, we did. There were, like, rounds of approval for the designs that happened before they even got to me. So I don't know. Like they eventually did get to her, but I have no idea what form and how, what format and how she provided feedback. Like I had no idea. I just know that by the time designs got to me, she had seen them.
Did you get to meet Bill too? Or
I have. I met Bill and Chelsea. I've met the entire Clinton family.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
Special.
They made a point to like stop by and who are working for Secretary Clinton just to give their appreciation. So,
awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the pattern library?
Sure. It came about, it's actually the very first major thing I did on the campaign, and it was one of the first major projects that we as a tech team did.
Mm-hmm.
And it essentially, we did two versions of it. One first version was a patternization of the existing website as it was when I was hired. We just wanted, it was essentially a complete code refactor and re-engineering, but visually the site didn't change. It was more my job to get our code base in a stable state so we could start to like build on top of it and iterate on it and do experiments on it. Because the original site was built very quickly, so it was kind of like built by very quickly by a bunch of different people who were working in kind of isolation. So it wasn't as maintainable and as scalable as needed to be for our needs.
What is the back end? Is it WordPress, Drupal, or is it custom? Or?
It was custom.
Okay.
It doesn't exist anymore, it doesn't matter, but I don't remember exactly what the complete infrastructure was, because it depended on what part of the site you were talking about. I mentioned in my talk that HillaryClinton.com, as it existed during the campaign, was actually dozens of different repos that were maintained by a bunch of different teams. So every code base had their own cool little way of doing things. We all had a similar front end and like boilerplate and build system, but every team of course had their own like process, their own workflow, their own quirks. So no one repo was truly the same.
Gotcha, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to make a comment that I loved how both Obama's campaign and Clinton's campaign were so tech oriented to the extent that they changed. I mean, even Bernie's campaign did a whole bunch of interesting grassroots like dev stuff that was really interesting. It's just nice to see that occurring and the change and the updating to the like politics becoming more like modern.
There were some carryovers from Obama's two campaigns to Hillary's campaign, so that was not quite that wasn't really just an accident. There were actual same people
in certain sense,
the same people were involved in both.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Oh, I want to know how like you end up leading a team. How does
I didn't actually lead a team, but I should qualify that. When I say the pantsuit team, that's actually just me. Like there's somebody else.
Oh, the pantsuit team?
I didn't really lead a team. I led a project, which I would bring in other people as needed. The
pantsuiters.
We kind of started adopting the term like the pantsuit council essentially that was like after the library was in place and it was more like how do we maintain this thing, what's working, what's not. It was more for me to talk to like my stakeholders and figure out like what do I need to do to make this better for you. But how did I end up leading this project? It was essentially like I was there at the right moment. Like I was the first engineer that the tech team hired. I was hired directly by the CTO, directly after her. And so, when I got to the office, we had the CTO, a director of front end, and some managers in place. By the time I got there, we had more of a team. And the director of front end at the time came up to me. He's like, I need a bootstrap, and I think you could do that. And I was like, yeah, I probably could do that. I had no idea how to do that.
Until you make it.
I had seen pattern libraries, and I knew what bootstrap was. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could figure out how to make something similar. And so he was like, I think that you're probably the best person to actually build this thing. He knew that I knew a lot modular CSS, and so he knew enough about me and my skills to kind of trust me to handle this thing. And so he gave me some loose requirements, like, we need a bootstrap that matches our current site, and we need it in a reasonable time frame.
Well, done.
And so he was like, can you do that? I was like, yeah, I think I can. He didn't know this. I don't think I ever told him, but I actually was thinking that in my head, like after the first couple of weeks I was on the team, I was like, you know, we really could use a pattern library. So like I was actually going to ask him about it anyway. So we kind of had this nice symbiosis going on. I was like, okay, well, we both have the same idea. So
serendipity.
There we go. There's serendipity. That's the word I'm looking for. we both kind of had the same idea at the same time. It just worked out that I happened to be the best person on our team to attempt this.
That's so nifty. When this was communicated to you, did you do kind of a shit? Or were you like,
I was actually excited. I'm like, no, I feel like this is something I really could excel at. Like, I thought that I was something I actually could pull off. Where I was a little concerned before, where I was like, I don't have a deep, like, skill set in terms of, like, a back-end, front full stack, or even all that versed in JavaScript. So I was a little concerned that sometimes, like, how well I would fit in to certain parts of the team. So when I was given this project, like, oh no, I could handle this one. I could really do this one. And it turned out I was definitely the best person to do it.
That's so awesome.
So your talk then focused a lot on like just what happened and creating the library.
It was the bulk of the first half of it. I spent about 30 minutes going over like how I got there on the team and the work I did and actually how I implemented and built this pattern library. I spend the last like third of it talking more about my personal experience working on this kind of highly visible project.
Yeah, I'm sure, and Everett, we're all obviously very interested in what it was like to work on something like that, because, you know, I haven't done that, and none of us have done that. It's very, very interesting to have done that and experienced it. But where, what, like, tell us about you two. Where are you from? Or where do you live now? Are you, where are you based out of?
I am from Kansas, so
Kansas.
Exactly.
You're not in Kansas anymore. I've heard that a lot, right?
Sorry. No, it's just interesting.
You're like, thanks. Yeah, I've never
always,
heard that.
Someone always says it. So I'm just like, ah. Like,
I had to do it. I knew.
Yeah, no, I'm not in Kansas anymore. I haven't actually lived there in a long time. But I grew up in Kansas. I currently live in Oakland. I'm based out of the San Francisco office of Slack. So I have moved to the West Coast.
Nice. How do you like it over there?
I get it. It took a while for it to grow on me. I was living in New York, lived in Brooklyn during the campaign and directly afterwards. And I actually intended on staying in New York. I didn't really feel the need to move. So I applied for jobs that were in New York mostly, but I also applied to Slack. And I'm like, well, it's a great company. And if I have to move to San Francisco, I'll move for Slack. And lo and behold, they actually wanted me to hop. They actually wanted to hire me. So they're like, well, I guess I got to move to San Francisco now.
That's awesome. Nice. Yeah, not a bad place to be.
Not a bad place. I really enjoy the company. I love the company. I love the people. I love the CEO, and like it just all trickles down. Like it's just a great culture.
That's
so
amazing.
That's wonderful.
What do you look for in a job when you do try to look for those next jobs after, you know, working for Hillary Clinton or maybe Slack, even if, you know, something happens where you want to move? Right. Yeah.
Well, after the campaign, I actually took some time off. It was a planned, like, period of unemployment. So I was just kind of just relaxing and trying to recover and feel like a person for a while. When I started looking for jobs, I actually purposely didn't look for anything that was in government or public policy or, like, social good. Like, I decided I just kind of wanted a break from all of, from attempting to, like, change the world, at least in that capacity. So I was just looking for more jobs where I thought that I could grow my skills as an engineer, but also the company culture was really important to me. The tech team on the campaign, and the campaign in general, it was just by far the best place I've ever worked. Like, the people were amazing, and we just built, like, this really great sort of camaraderie, and I felt very, like, supported and taken care of, and I wanted to make sure I kept
that feeling
as much as possible in my next company. So, like, the company culture ranked very high, and the people I'd be working with ranked very high. And Slack, the people I met during my interview process at Slack were just, like, so wonderful and gracious and welcoming, and, like, they really did their best to make sure that I felt like they really wanted me there and that they really were excited to work with me. And when I was thinking about weighing the options that I had at the time, I just kept going back to, I felt really good at Slack. And to be frank, it was wonderful to see so many Black women working in one company. And I was like, I kind of want to be a part of that. Like, I see all of this happening. I want to be a part of it just for a while to see what it's like. So
that's so good. Yeah. What is it like to be in a company with so many women of color or, like, people of color?
It's wonderful to have that space where I don't necessarily want to use the term safe space, but it's nice to be able to find people who understand, like, the unique issue, the unique way that I see the world, and not have to explain a lot. Like, I can just go find, we have a whole channel that's full of Black ladies on, like, a private channel, and I can just go and say something there and just know that you guys see me, right? You get it, you feel it, you understand. And it's nice to be able to, like, not have, like, that one other person who I may never interact with at another company. Like, go find the other Black woman way over there or whatever. So, like, no, it's just nice to be able to, like, I can walk to, like, whatever department and just see us. So it's like, okay, we're here, and it's good. And, yeah, that feeling is partially, is really what made me want to go to Slack even more.
So is Slack very focused on, very beautiful. Is Slack very focused on diversity in general?
Was their goal to make sure that they're a diverse company full of people of all genders, races, etc.?
I feel like it's definitely a priority there. Like, they definitely are doing the part to make sure people get in the door. I feel like we're improving how to make sure that everyone there feels like they're included and make sure that everyone feels like they have a space. So
very different from tech company, because so many, you hear all the time tech companies that are just completely failing.
I will say the Slack is perfect in that sense. Like, there's definitely work to be done, but I feel like at least it's not like a lip service thing. Like, they really are trying to
better. There was a company, and I'm not going to mention names, obviously, that we heard about just at lunch yesterday that you would think would be like a really great company to work with, and we just heard some piss poor reviews of that was like super disappointing. That I was like, oh my god, really? Yeah, I'll tell you about it later on
Yes,
camera.
Please do.
But that's great that it's something like that, like, that they're really actually doing that.
Yeah, definitely. It's there are people who are working to improve the experience for all at Slack. So it's nice to see that work is at least being done.
So any new design systems coming out? Are you going to put one that's just you, like, the Mina design system?
No,
it's going to be like Bram Stoker kind of took that.
That would be great.
I would love that.
Like blood dripping.
Yeah! I'm going to do that! I want that!
Mina!
Oh, you could get together with Gary Ullman.
Oh my god.
And like, he'll wear the hat and like, that'd be so great.
Oh my god.
And I was thinking this earlier, by the way. You should totally wear a pantsuit when you come out for your next talk.
I've done that before.
Oh, your video?
No, not about that. I've given that talk as a keynote before, and I actually, when I did the keynote, I didn't have a pantsuit.
Nice. Was it? Was what color was it?
Yeah. Black. Yeah. I didn't have any color, but any bright color.
Yeah, when I think of a pantsuit, I think of like some like bright, like some funny like blue.
Yeah, so I guess it's more for me. Like, I wore separates that appeared to be a suit. I really wouldn't wear a pantsuit like in actual life, but it took me like 5 months. So I was like, I have some slacks, I have a blazer, I'll make it work. It's fine.
Same thing.
Yeah, I saw that you are a avid CSS junkie.
Yes.
Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
I love CSS. I feel like people actually don't say that very often. Like, but I truly love working in CSS.
Oh man.
But that's kind of how my introduction to the whole tech world came, was really through CSS, because I used to be a graphic designer. I worked as a designer for 5 years, and I taught myself how to code basically by, I wanted to make a portfolio site for all of my graphic designs, and so I was building my own personal site and figuring out how to incorporate, how to make my vision come to life. And most of that was figuring out how to style the page the way I wanted it to be styled. So I've learned CSS and HTML that way. And eventually I started learning some JavaScript interactivity. And I feel like CSS is kind of underappreciated. It's like, it's easy it's easy for people to like get mad at it and make fun of it because it doesn't work the way they think that it should work, or they don't quite understand the box model and the cascade and all that stuff. So it just feel like it's easy. People say it's easy to write CSS, and it is, because it's essentially just thousands of like key value pairs.
I mean,
but it's
the
hard
basics
to,
is
I mean,
easy.
It's hard
yeah.
to write it well is what
yeah.
I'm thinking. It is very easy to like, very declarative, so it's very easy to like say what to do,
yeah.
you can do what you want it to do, but it's not very easy to figure out how to make it do it in a way that is modular and scalable and like and really works with Cascade.
Plus specificity issues and just like, you have it laid out right, and then you're like, oh, let me check this out in Firefox. What?
The funny thing is that JavaScript had the same problem for a long time.
Oh, yeah,
that's why jQuery came to be, because
all
the browser differences. But somehow people didn't have a problem with that. They just worked around JavaScript acting differently.
I think it's
because
it's more of a programming language when you're developing something. And it's weird, because I almost feel like people see HTML and CSS as not developing.
That's
which
fair.
Is weird.
Yeah.
Because it is. You're building.
There's kind of a hierarchy, I feel like, in tech and in front end. Like, for one, like the further you get away from the user and the more obscure your work is, the highly, more highly valued it is, it seems like. Like,
yeah.
The back end of the back end, and there's are paid like so much more because people are like, well, their work is so important, even though like I don't actually understand a lot of what they do.
Yeah.
And like the work that, if you're doing more strictly like styling things, like you're kind of considered to be like the icing on everything else. Like that's usually considered last in most cases.
Yeah,
which
that's
it wasn't
the best
that way.
Part is icing.
Yeah.
A frosting. Like people just eat the frosting, don't eat the cake.
Yeah.
I love the cake.
I wish it wasn't that way, and I'm hoping that I'm seeing that there's more and more people who are advocating for like great CSS and like really well with CSS. But yeah, it's for a while it was disheartening to see that it was kind of devalued, and I mean it still is in a way, but
well, I think things now with like variables coming out with the grid coming out, I think people are more understanding that it's a little bit more complex. I mean, you could use any tool, like you could use Photoshop and say, I could update a picture, but you could go crazy into it. You could use Sketch and get like a little bit into it, but not really like leverage libraries or something like that. So, I mean, all these things have low entry points as they should, and then as you get further along, all that. But
CSS is super powerful on its own, and I feel like a lot of people forget that you can create literally just beautiful masterpieces of just art, right?
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
Only HTML and CSS, like, you know, if you ever, like, see CodePen things that are completely just HTML and CSS, there's Minesweepers that are completely built in HTML and CSS.
Yeah.
You know, there's these beautiful, like, pieces of literally artwork just made in HTML and CSS, and, you know, that's beautiful to me, the fact that you can create something so marvelous and like just crazy with just HTML and CSS. And
just
everyone
see,
like,
you're demeaning it.
You know what I mean though? Like it's
animation,
it's
complex interactions.
And people don't really like take that into effect. They're like, man, like this is just CSS? Like, yes, it absolutely is. Like, it's that powerful.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking some time and joining us and talking about your talk and telling us a little bit about you.
Cool.
And I'm really looking forward to, in 2019, seeing the
Mina
Bram Stoker Dracula. it's coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's dropping Halloween 2019. Tweet Mina. Just ask her about it. She's super excited.
Yeah, everyone tweet her.
She's like, don't at me.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned. Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Thunder Nerds. Please follow us on Twitter at ThunderNerdsHo, on Facebook at facebook.com/ThunderNerds. Go to thundernerds.io for our website and find links to our YouTube channel and Instagram from there. Please send us any ideas or comments to connect@thundernerds.io. And if you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/ThunderNerds, or send us an email if you'd like to sponsor the show. Lastly, please remember to go to iTunes to give us a like or review. We honestly and sincerely appreciate it.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?